December 8th, Scotiabank Arena. UFC 231. Tickets on sale Friday, 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster. The event available on Sportsnet pay-per-view as well. Super happy to be joined now by the UFC featherweight champion, headliner of UFC 231, Max Holloway, in studio. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having.
Really appreciate you coming in. I know it's a busy couple of days for you promoting the fight. But yeah, saw you taking in some of the sights on Instagram. You were getting a picture in front of the Toronto sign yesterday. Yeah. What else have you seen around the city?
You know, we're just running through the six with my woes.
Yeah, I feel like you just have to do so much media that it's probably hard to actually get in time where you get to do some stuff. But I was thinking about this. So you won your interim championship belt when you were here.
Uh-huh.
Right. That was, how many years ago was that?
2016.
That was 2016.
That was the last event here. So
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I headlined that one. Now I get to headline the one that's coming back 2 years later, and I get to defend a title now.
Yeah, so, man, it's cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was telling you during the break how I was at the Leafs game when, they introduced you. And I remember you just told us that you took in a Raptors game.
Yeah.
And you came in here with the Raptors uniform on. I was like, this is very good. This is a great way to promote the fight. Get people on your side. Like, clearly you don't want to be a heel. Like, you want to be the face of this fight.
Yeah, you know, actually, what is funny is, you know, Hawaiian Islands, we got eight islands. We call Las Vegas the ninth island because there's a bunch of Hawaiians there. I'm about to call Toronto the 10th island because I have so much love and support here. It is ridiculous. I am loved here. You're going to start making me speak Canadian, eh? Yeah. You know, that's what I'm going to start doing. You know? Yeah, they love me here. I'm grateful, you know. It's almost like fighting home away from home, you know. And they show me love and I'm grateful for it.
Well, you're an exciting fighter. I think that goes a long way. And I think that's like when people go pay to go see a UFC fight, they pay for a card. I think that's part of the reason why you are so loved here. Like the Pettis fight when you did take the belt with that body kick and then the flurry of punches to finish it off. And it's just like, man, Max, you're a beast. Like, and you've had, what's your win streak now? 12?
12.
Yeah. And usually those fights, I can't think of one that wasn't entertaining. And even the one where you, like your last loss, I think was Conor McGregor, right?
Yeah.
And even that fight was exciting. Like I remember I went back and looked at that fight probably 5-6 months ago because I remember just thinking, okay, let me see kind of where the progression is of you as a fighter and how much you've gotten better. Yeah. And man, you were good then, but you're just a completely different guy now.
Yeah. You know, that summer I actually lost to two guys, you know, I lost to Dennis Bermudez and then I lost to Conor. And, you know, I was telling people have been asking me about the fight and this and that. I'm like, you know, the top 30 featherweights in the world right now would beat 20-year-old Max. You know, it's different. You know, it's just different. Things started clicking. You know, I after that Conor fight, I actually got a striking coach. Never had a striking coach. Me and my man was just holding, me and my man Dustin Kimura, we was just holding mitts for each other. I was teaching them how to hold mitts. I was teaching them combos and we was just doing it, figure it. I remember watching, you know, on Kustor, I remember playing UFC, the game.
Yep.
And I like Tenen Barral. I use him a lot. And I'll do like combinations in the game. And I'll be like, man, I think this might work in real life. And then I'll tell Dustin to hold it. And that's just how we did it.
So
we figured it out.
You had a training partner that was essentially a younger brother. Because I did those same things with my younger brother where I'd be like, all right, so
I'm gonna be a football coach
I'm
now.
I'm beat on you right now, but it's practice for you and for me. This is beneficial for the both of us.
Dustin is older than me. So I probably was a younger brother. And he was a UFC fighter too.
Yeah.
At the time, I got in the UFC before him, but he got in right after me. And I was like kind of our little journey, you know, together. Like we didn't have really striking coach. We just had each other. So it was cool. You know, it was a little story.
That's crazy though. Do you think that guys are going to be able to do that now? Because it feels like the fight game, the UFC anyways, has changed so much over the last few years. Like just from going from having nutritionists and what you're putting into your body and what type of workouts you're doing and having different coaches for everything. Like I was thinking about your fight with Ortega and how, I don't know, when you're training right now, are you trying to bring in a guy that can do what he does on the ground that has submission skills like him and trying to think of how to get out of it? It just feels so specialized right now that guys are getting so good at things that it's hard to find guys who can replicate those things.
Yeah, it's cool, you know. Yeah, and that's what we do. You know, that's why I have one of the best coaches. I have the best coaches, period, actually. The best coaching minds in MMA. And people just don't know it yet, you know. People just know it. We had a small camp. I got a great group of guys. And it's selfless, guys. We're all selfless, you know. Yeah. And we got a mat on the ground when you walk in. It says, leave your ego here. Mm. And that's what it is. You know, we leave our ego, you know, for so 6 months at a time when people was like, when I needed an Ortega, you know, if one of my teammates was getting ready for Ortega and I went and trained and sparred him and fought him how I fought, that's not helping him. Mm-mm. You know, that's being, I'm putting myself in front of him. You know what I mean? I need to be selfless and put him in front of me. And that's what these guys do day in and day out. We work hard. They try and mimic Ortega, even if some camps, I tell you right now, when I was like helping Dustin get ready, I got beaten up. Even to today, I get beaten up in some camps. I'm like, man, I hate training. Why am I doing this? You know, but you do that. You know, you do that for your partners because when it's my turn, they return the favor. So I'm grateful for it. It's just a great team and a bunch of great guys, a bunch of great coaches and minds, and it's amazing.
Talking to UFC featherweight champion Max Holloway in studio, UFC 231, Scotiabank Arena, December 8th. Tickets go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster. And again, you can watch it on Sportsnet pay-per-view. Of course, the UFC very much in people's minds over the weekend with that big fight in Vegas, Conor and Khabib. I thought your comments on Twitter were kind of interesting because I think about it as being, I know Dana downplayed it as being one of the worst nights in his recent memory. But yeah, that more people are talking about the UFC and that nobody was hurt during that. But somebody could have been, especially if it was a situation like you were in that fight.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, when we was this fight with Brian, for those who don't know, was supposed to happen in summer, you know. Mm. And when I was in summer and during the summer, I was in the ER. You know, that's why if I got called off. And the doctors came in. I had all my family and friends. Emotions was high. The doctors came in. And they was telling us, hey, look, you know, right now it doesn't look like it's a concussion. You know, right now it doesn't look like it's a weight cutting issue. There's like, we really don't know what it is. You know, and emotions high. And it was all sad. And, you know, and I was down. You know, that Khabib and Conor could have took their shots at me then. But I was... that they did the total opposite. You know, they showed me respect and well-being, you know, wish me well. But then at the end of the day, my son is going to be up here in December. Mm-hmm. He's going to be ringside where he always is for my fights. And to imagine that happening, they could have hurt children. They could have hurt paying customers. You know, there's a bunch of things that they could have hurt. You know, it's like this title, man, this belt, that's all it is. Is this a title? You know, being a champion is something else. You don't have to have a title to be a champion. You know, a champion is the way you carry yourself. And I know these guys. These great guys. You know, they're two great guys. You know, and right now, I don't think so. The fans or people or whatever you guys seeing right now, that's not them. That's not them. I just hope they can turn it around, find themselves before it's too late, and show what great leaders they are, you know, for their team and put their foot down.
So Khabib was obviously upset at the way Conor was promoting that fight by attacking his religion, attacking his family. I don't think Conor actually believes those things, right? That's part of promoting the fight.
Yeah.
But does something need to change there, considering how heated Khabib got?
What I found interesting about that was that, if Conor had brought up Khabib's kids, that's crossing the line. But him bringing up his religion and bringing up, you know, his father wasn't. And yeah, I do, like, my initial reaction was definitely like, that's the fight game. They're there to promote a fight. He knows the deal. But you talk about Khabib's character and that you know him differently. And by all accounts, this is a guy who is a family man. This is someone who's reserved, that he is the kind of guy that you do want to be champion because he carries a lot of the characteristics. So to see how emotional he was, and man, to see him in the cage afterwards, even after he had jumped over and Dana was trying to settle him down, it's like, that's not the champion that we've been told he is. That's not the guy we're told he is. So clearly this did resonate with him in a different way. And I do wonder how you feel about that stuff. Like, if someone started talking about your kid, I can't imagine that you wouldn't feel like that's crossing the line.
You know, at the end of the day, there's different ways we can take care of it. So if some random guy kind of talks about my kid, it's like, it's whatever. You know, like, whatever. Like, I might get mad because I can't fight you. Mm-hmm. But if me and you, you know, if Ortega's talking about my kid, and I'm fighting him in December 8th. We have a date. I'm going to make you pay for every single word you say. Mm-hmm. It's simple. And I'm going to do it the right way, the legal way. You know, and Khabib did it. You know, Khabib smashed this guy that was talking bad about him. And that's my plan. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm a fighter. I'm not saying what he said, she said, he's right, he's wrong, and blah, blah, blah. But this is the way I would take it. You talk about me, talk about my religion, talk about my family. Come with that same energy when we step in that octagon. Because I'm going to show you energy and you're not going to like it. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove you, you know. And we get paid. And this is sanctioned. And I do it. And then after I, you know, after that, I'm going to help you out. Tell you, hey, next time don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Good job. You know, I'll see you around. That's it. That's the way I would take it. You know, that's the way I would do it. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's different. If someone's attacking me online and whatever, I can't do nothing to them. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, a little frustration. Be like, I can't do nothing to them. Let it go. You know, let it go. But in this time, like, if Ortega was saying this stuff and I'm fighting in December, ooh, yeah. You know, like, we got a date. You know, keep that same energy, boy. You know, that's how I would do it. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's right or wrong or anything, yeah. But that's the way I would approach that situation.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people played that out in their minds. And, like, after he had Connor submitted and
held it a little longer.
Yeah, but that it was like, okay, he got his, and now he's going to take the high road, and that he didn't was a surprise. Did anything about that fight, the actual fight, surprise you the way it went down?
Actually, I thought the fight was going good, you know. Actually, when you look at the scorecards, you see that Connor actually won the third round in most on all the judges' eyes, and that's the best round he did. But the first round, he was doing good. I think so. Connor did a lot of great things in that fight. It's just Khabib did a lot of greater thing in the fight, you know. So I think Connor was doing good stuff. He had a lot of good stuff when I was watching the fight. It's just that Khabib was just one step, you know, 1 inch, just always ahead, just ahead. And when Khabib gets you there, you know, I don't know how it is. This guy make people look like ragdolls, you know. And I wouldn't say Connor looked like a ragdoll, but Connor was doing all the right stuff. You know, it's just, it's hard. You know, it's just one mistake. Khabib took advantage of it.
Man, well, I was listening to John Kavanaugh, Connor McGregor's coach, on the Rogan podcast the day or two after the fight.
Yeah.
And he was going over the game plan that they had. And that he said, he was like, I wish we were a little bit more aggressive in the fight. But essentially it was, they knew Khabib was going to take him down. It was like, there was no stuffing everything. It's like, they were going to spend time on the ground, but not to exert too much energy trying to get back up.
Yeah.
Not to take too much damage and then just start every round on the feet. Mm-hmm. And like, you're a guy who fought Connor. You were prepared to fight Khabib. And was that kind of the game plan that you would have accepted if you did fight Khabib? That is just like, this guy is going to take me down. Like, there's just nothing. I have to accept that this is going to happen. I just have to be able to beat him on the feet when I get those opportunities. Like, he's a mauler.
Yeah. You know, when my coach, Ryan Lazarus, Ivan Flores, that we talk and you guys, we will talk about the way I lose the fight more than the way I will win the fight. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, a lot of people think that they go in there. Yeah. I go in there and I always like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do my game plan. I'm going to stick to my game plan. And then my two coaches remind me like, look, this is what going to happen. This is how we lose, you know, this is how we lose. Mm-hmm. And that's most of the camp, you know, most of the camp is they're telling me, you know, this is how we lose, you know, that's not how I get here, you know. So I would accept it. You know, it's cool for my coaches to think that that's going to happen and we're getting ready for it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like Mike Tyson, you know, that mindset, you know, in the back, I'm nervous. If there's a fighter that tells you like, I'm not nervous before a fight, slap that fighter in the head because he or she is lying. Mm-hmm. This is lies. This is emotions. Don't tell me you're not scared to fight in front of millions of people. Like, this is crazy. We're all human, you know? I get nervous just like anybody else. But, like that, like I said about Mike Tyson, when I get close to that ring, I walk away with a big smile on my face. And it's because I get to know, like, man, I put in weeks of beating up people I like. Now I get to put a whooping on someone that I don't really care about until after the fight. You know, after the fight, we can be friends.
More money.
But 25, 29 minutes, whatever you in the octagon with me, I'm making you pay.
It was pretty crazy, though, that you were willing to take that fight on short notice, and so many people were so excited for it, right? Like, oh, man, like, are you kidding me that he's just going to jump up and take this fight and no problem? Do you still see that in your future? Like, I know that you've still got to worry about this fight, but do you still see yourself, you know, jumping up a weight class and trying to take on some of those guys, the Fergusons, the Connors, the Khabibs?
Yeah. You know, when I first got in this game, I wanted to be a champion. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the champion level. You set new goals, you know? And one of my new goals is to defend this title as long as possible I can.
For sure.
And one of the other goals is to be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I'm at number four. You know, there's three guys in front of me. One of them is a higher weight class than me. And then one of them is one of my good friends, Kung Fu Panda, DC, who recently is fighting in New York. So congrats to that guy. But hey, I let DC know all the time, I'll fight you. I don't care. if you want to be your number one pound for pound fight, I'll fight you, DC. And it's all jokes aside, but that's it. You know, if that's the fights to move me up the rank, that's the fights to take. But if not, whatever UFC wants to do, UFC can do it. I want to be the number one pound for pound guy in the world. And I believe that if you believe you're the best guy in the world, then you fight anyone.
Yeah.
You fight anyone. Everybody keeps saying, you're crazy fighting Khabib on that 6 days notice, blah, blah, blah. I was like, Khabib crazy taking the fight against me. He's fighting me. The dude is insane. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's insane. You guys telling me I'm insane? Yeah. You guys, they have film of him wrestling a bear.
Yeah.
You know, during my time, we didn't have underwaterproof me fighting a shark. So yeah. They're lucky, the camera, you know, there's film around somewhere. Yeah, so it's crazy.
It is nuts, though, because, yeah, you and Ortega are both so good, and both of you guys could move up to that weight class. And just to think of how stacked it already is and how confusing it is in terms of what the next steps are and who gets what fights, it's like, I can't remember a time where there was a weight class that could be so loaded as that right now. If you start throwing your name into the ring and he starts throwing his name into the ring, like, it's nuts. The other thing, too, is like, man, I can't believe I haven't touched on it, but you didn't have that fight. Like, you – or the most recent fight with Ortega, you didn't have because of health. And, man, Ben and I were talking earlier today. We're just thrilled that you're healthy. Like, that's so awesome, man, because – I know that it was scary for you. I know that, like, when you're talking about, you didn't know if it was a concussion, you didn't know if it was a weight cut. Yeah. Are you fully confident in your health right now? Like, everything is ironed out, everything is good?
I'm fully confident. You know, they still didn't figure out what it was. Yeah. You know, we don't have a smoking gun. And like, I see my man's reaction here.
Yeah.
And we still got specialists and the UFC doctors, they still trying to figure it out, you know. Mm. But the great thing is they had me slowly getting back into it. And I'm at the point where I could train hard, and I was training hard for a couple of weeks now, and they wanted me to let them know how I felt, and I felt great, you know, no signs of any symptoms, and I just feel awesome, you know, I can't wait, and, you know, hearing that is crazy to hear, you know, like what you guys said, like, you guys just care for my health, you know, like, people I had never ever met, you know, I mean, I maybe met you once before, and when I see that, a lot of fans, I'm grateful for my fans, I'm grateful for my family, my friends. But my fans, people I never met in their life, is like, man, even if you don't fight a day in your life again, please be healthy. Please get healthy. You know?
Because those symptoms were scary sounding.
Yeah, it was scary. You know, it was crazy. I didn't believe him. You know, actually, this guy was with me fight week. You can ask him. I was to the nail, fighting him to the death. Like, I was telling him, like, ride with me to the wheels fall off. You know, I had this talk with him. I told him, like, I want you guys to ride with me to the wheels fall off. And this is when I was like crazy. Like, I was like, whatever, in the symptoms, right? And then, you know, recently he sat me down and he talked to me. He was like, man, you know, I was thinking I would ride with you to wheels fall off, but that's why I'm here. I'm here to make sure the wheels don't fall off.
Yeah.
So when they hit me with that, I was like, man, that means a lot. You know, these guys really love me. You know, it's not for money, for fame. All these guys do it because they really love me, and they love me, what I want to do, you know, and they're brave enough to put their foot down for me. They get me to the ER. They tricked me. They told me, oh, you got more media. I remember getting in there, and then we showed up at the hospital. I was like, mother bleepers. Mm. I was like, what is going on, you know? And
they tricked you like a dog going to the vet.
Yeah, and then we was going good, and then you know, a couple of days after the ER and stuff, my head was getting better and everything was getting better. They showed me the Michael Bisbee clip.
Mm-hmm.
I was in disbelief. You know, they're showing me other clips where I was where we was just driving somewhere and I'll fall asleep. The car ride, like, 5 minutes. Like,
wow.
Just start dozing off. I'm like, this is insane. You know, this is insane. But I was trying to fight. You know, that's what warriors do. I don't know. That's just the way.
So you don't have any memory of anything that took place over that period of time?
I remember everything going on. Everything was just really like I felt like I was in the Matrix. That's the perfect way to say it. Like, I felt like, you know, I felt like, let's say it this way. I felt like when you watch a movie and you see someone get drugged,
mm-hmm.
and you see everything going slow or whatever, that's how I felt. Like, that's the closest I could tell it. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
It was insane. I don't know how to speak about it, but it was nuts. I'm glad I'm fine. That's all I can say.
Yeah. We're glad as well.
Yeah, it was cool to see I think a lot of fight fans and a lot of fans from just about everywhere were reaching out and stuff. And it's interesting because usually when fights don't happen, people are
mad.
Usually super disappointed,
people
right?
People are like, mad. Yeah. I was in disbelief too. But, you know, like, this is the third time, you know, I got a fight pulled away from me.
This fight, like, you and Ortega, this is a fight fan's dream.
Yeah.
Like, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Like I said, when this fight was first supposed to happen, I remember talking about this with my UFC buddies. It was basically like everyone wanted to see Khabib versus Tony and you and Ortega. And it was like, those are the two fights. Yeah. Everybody was like, that's what we got to see. Those are the two fights that everybody has to see. Those are the biggest question marks that we have. And now we're getting it. It's so awesome, and that you're healthy is awesome. But has that changed, like, your approach with anything? Because, yeah, man, you're just talking about how you're worried. You didn't even want to go to the hospital. So I imagine that you're kind of dismissive, and you do have, you know, your managers and the people around you that are kind of monitoring you and making sure things are cool. But has it made your approach any different, this training camp coming up, or, like, how you're working, your diet, anything?
Yeah, you know, it gave me a different approach in life. You know what I mean? Like, I had everything going great for me. You know, 2017, I had that year. I won Fighter of the Year almost everything. You know what I mean? So every MMA outlet, I was a Fighter of the Year. So it was crazy. You know, I was getting, like, I guess so you'd say business was booming, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that happened. You know, the three fights this year happened. And, you know, I didn't fight until now, December. You know, I got a December fight coming up. And it just, you know, it just helped me as a person realize, you know, like, you know, sometimes you gotta slow things down to get things back correct, you know. And I dealt with after this last one, I dealt with some depression, you know. And I was talking about Raptors fan, you know what I mean, DeRozan. Mm-hmm. I know he's not here anymore, but DeRozan talked about depression, and that really shook me. He said that he wished that everybody was rich, everybody in the world had money, so he could understand that, like, money does not make you happy, you know what I mean, like, depression is real. And that really hit me hard, and I was like, I was going through a phase where I wasn't talking to no one, you know, only my son, like, me and my son would do stuff, but I was talking to no one, trying, if I wanted to talk to you, I'd call you, if people was reaching out to me, I was, like, putting myself away, and now, since I was in that situation, now I'm able to talk about it, you know, and now I can tell people, like, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is talk to your family, talk to your friends, be with everyone, because you don't know when anything can change, you know, life changes on a dime, so live life to the fullest, you know. Live life to the fullest, and and don't be scared to look for help, guys. You know, mm-hmm. Depression is real.
Was that the pivot point for you, reading the DeRozan stuff?
I didn't even know when I saw it, but that was when I was, like, not talking to no one, and then it was just Instagram. You know how you're on top of, like, score page, and then thing just came up out of nowhere, and he was talking about it. I was like, what? And then when he said that, I was like, holy, like, this guy dealing with depression right now. You know, like, because I was thinking, like, whoa, why are you getting depressed? I understand you're getting. Like, Toronto was his home, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing I gotta understand. Like, he made this his home, like, legitimately. And then he gave so much to the city. He was so part of the city. And then, you know, all those things went down. And I'm sure he had personal life stuff going on.
Yeah, he did.
So it's crazy, you know what I mean? And all these guys, they keep forgetting, like us athletes, they keep thinking that, like we're superheroes, you know? And I like to think I'm a superhero, but, you know, superheroes got to fight their demons too sometimes. So
for sure.
It's very crazy.
Yeah, well said. UFC 231, Scotiabank Arena, December 8th, and tickets on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.
They always sell out fast here, so.
Oh, yeah. People like mixed martial arts in the city of Toronto, in this country.
I know,
really.
I love I love Canada. Canada's
also,
yeah, you fought here before, too. Everybody's
got. Saskatoon.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to say, this is your third Canadian.
And I headline all of them. It's a good. Hey, Canada been good to me. I got two stoppages here as a headliner. We're going for three.
Toronto, Saskatoon, it's the same thing. same city.
Same nightlife afterwards when you go out after the win.
Max, really appreciate you joining us in studio.
Thank you guys for
having me. Awesome to have you here, man.
Best of luck in December. Max Holloway, UFC featherweight champion.